Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the show, and we have a full crew here, literally ready to help you. Gary Baker down in Fort Lauderdale is on with us, Mr. Shane Hamlin in studio. We also have Cal Carson and Ed Rudell here. That means lots of people around with lots of experience, everything from Windows to Mac and you name it, IT. All you got to do is give us a call, 800-859-0957. We're standing by for you. Well, we certainly have a full complement on deck here, ready to start answering your questions. Bruce in Grosse Pointe will be with you to kick things off in just a moment. That number again is 800-859-0957. Thank you to Eric Dorsch, our super engineer who helped run the last hour, and also to Danielle Mason, who's in right now. And thank you to Logan Standifer, who is our producer and is with us in studio again, answering the calls. Thank you so much, all of you, for being there. Let's go right out to Bruce, and we said call early, call often, and let's honor that by saying hello to Bruce from Grosse Pointe. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm great this evening. How are you guys doing?
Very well, sir. What can we do for you?
Got a question for you. If you know anything about the new, you just had somebody from Comcast on, but about anything about the new Xfinity Mobile program that's just been launched?
I saw a lot of that being advertised and talked about when I was in Atlanta last week, and I haven't seen anything at all up here yet that really talking about that mobile program yet. But it, go ahead.
I just received something in the mail this week, and it talks about no access for up to five lines if you're an Xfinity member. They use the Wi-Fi and Verizon as a partner, and it looks like as little as $12 a gig as far as data costs.
Wow. We still got you there with us?
Yes,
Okay, good. All of a sudden I heard a line go pop and hope that wasn't you that was disappearing. To be honest with you, I don't know about that we should get some.
We need to get, what's her name back here from Comcast?
Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle Gilbert. Get her back here. Jeff Marston was just on with us from the business end of the thing. That's interesting. I haven't heard about. I am going to, while we're talking on here, you guys are talking, I'm going to see if I can text Michelle and see if I can get her on to talk about Xfinity Mobile. She may know something about that. So talk amongst yourselves.
I'll tell you what, every time I hear anything that says $12 a gig or any kind of limited or you pay for, I freak out because I'm so unlimited. You know, I can do.
Oh,
I'm so grandfathered in. I wouldn't switch if you paid me.
Well, I tell you what was scary is like, you know, with Sprint, I've got like unlimited data on that thing. And I was looking the other day. My daughter, I'm only halfway through my monthly cycle. My daughter has already went through 42 gig of data.
What?
42 gig
wow.
of data.
I used 300 megabytes last month.
I think
I looked on my phone. 300
I think
megabytes.
She streams constantly.
Yeah,
she's got to.
Yeah. And you know something? Doesn't cost me anymore.
Right.
I love it.
I'll tell you what, being grandfathered in and having that, you know, it comes in waves. You see that unlimited, and then they charge you.
Yeah.
It comes in waves. So at this point, it's beneficial for me to just stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they have unlimited for $45 a month, but it looks like it looks how they're tying in is using all the mobile hotspots that businesses have developed all around the community. And if you don't need the, you know, if it accesses the Wi-Fi automatically on these phones, that might take care of part of the need for the unlimited gig in itself for data.
Yeah, it appears they got something really big going on. I'm looking at their website. They're doing things with the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus, and they're also doing it with the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus, and a lot more models as well. So this ought to be interesting. We really need to get a hold of Michelle.
If Comcast ever hits Northern Oakland County, then I'll probably take advantage of that. But they don't even go to my house.
From Xfinity, they have Xfinity hotspots. They have an app that you can download and go from hotspot to hotspot. Is this different, Cal? Can you see anything on their website that ties that in? Because that's been around for a little while.
Yeah, this
for
looks,
6-8 months.
This looks like they're using these hotspots also for doing mobile phone conversations as well, I think. But I'm digging deep into it, and it's a lot to look at. So we're going to have to really do some deep dive on this because there is a lot here. The devices are going somewhere starting at $31 a month.
Which is comparable if I was to get a new phone from my Verizon or AT&T. That's what it would cost me if I wanted to get
S8. Yep.
And then the $45 unlimited, that's about the same. And for Comcast, who, as Gary said, has infiltrated a lot of free business and home network, if they could do VoIP, you know, they may just make out on this. You know, if they're going to be partnering with Verizon and AT&T to provide their service, Comcast could really make out if people live in an area where there's all these hotspots.
It is changing continually. Yep. We're going to see if we can get one of our old friends, who's Michelle Gilbert, is with Comcast. We'll see if we can get her on the phone with us. It's kind of suddenly that I emailed her. We'll see if we can get her back on the line with us to talk about that this afternoon.
Now, the only hook here that I noticed, it says include it with your Xfinity internet service. So
correct.
If you're not getting internet service from Xfinity, you won't be able to take advantage of their mobile plan.
Right.
It looks like if you do have Xfinity mobile service, that you can have up to 5 lines with no fees. And as you said, I mean, I have a 11-year-old who's been screaming at me for telephone.
11-year-old.
And, yeah, he needs it to talk to his friends. Right?
I know. Yeah.
Oh, that corded phone with the 20-foot extension cord just doesn't do it anymore.
Or how about that nice little walk outside with the 2 feet to go see your friend and talk to him?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Bruce. We're going to see if we can get somebody on to help with this, all right?
Thank you. We look forward to listening.
All right. Thank you so much.
I didn't get text to my children, and they hated me for it until they were 16 years old.
I hear you.
I know. I'm sorry.
I hear you. All right, 800-859-0957 is the number. We'll look forward to hearing from you. If you've got a question for us, give us a call right now. In all fairness to Comcast, we've made our calls behind the scenes here, and I don't know if at last minute they can get somebody on to talk with us about this, but we're trying to find out more information for Bruce and for anybody else who's interested about Comcast's
Mobile. I'm sure they got the mailers. One thing they'll let you know.
Yeah, that's true. All right, now... Again, we tell you at the beginning of the program, and I beg you to do this, call early, because our lines are not as busy as they are. Typically, after the bottom of the hour, people said, I got to call in now. Call in right now, and there's plenty of space here at 800-859-0957. Whatever your question may be about, maybe about cell phones, maybe about an Apple product, a Windows product, you name it. We've got people in here who are very expert at any of those systems. If you've got a network concern that you'd like somebody to help you solve. We got some people in here who know how to do that. Shane Hamlin, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson are here, and Gary Baker from the way down in Florida.
You know, I finally figured out what the deal is. The first half of the show, they listen to the interviews, and then at the middle of the show, they start popping popcorn, and they forget, and then they run back in and call in and make questions.
That's what happens.
Speaking of popcorn, Shane, now you said you were listening into some gaming announcements.
Yes,
you had got your popcorn. You were sitting there.
I tell you what, it's like that. But you stay tuned for all. You want to watch them all because you want to know what's going on in the industry.
Right.
Just as background. E3 was the big gaming show that took place last week.
That's once a year. That's the big one. That's all the electronics for gaming comes out. They usually debut their latest hardware and their new systems and their games that they're never going to make. You know they seem, but. For some reason, Xbox just and normally Xbox doesn't do so well in these shows. You know, they make a lot of promises and no arrival dates. A lot of times, you know, with a lot of these games that are
okay,
nice. But they actually have released these games and with the dates that they're being released. So, which is something is new for
now is E3 a break off from the Consumer Electronics Show, or do they still have gaming for the Consumer Electronics Show and this is a second show?
Total separate ordeal. E3 is more, I want to say, the Hollywood, the big fancy, yeah, and
it's out by in California.
It's in L.A. Yeah,
it's put out by all the gaming companies, the writers and stuff like that.
Right, it's the big one. It's the fancy one.
But Shane, is that the only place you're going to find the gaming industry really big on? Is it? Because I thought it had spread beyond California.
Well, no, they have like PAX. You know, there's different gaming, I want to say conventions or shows that go on. You know, PAX and E3, and there's a bunch of them. Consumers, you know, they all deal with gaming because it's such a large industry.
So okay, what was the big news for Xbox then?
Well, their new system, the Xbox One X, that's the fastest gaming system ever made in history.
So it's a whole new console.
Whole new
buying.
Console, which with PlayStation already did with their Pro series, the PS4 Pro.
Mm.
But they came out a little earlier than Xbox, and they have October. It's coming out. It's $499. True 4K resolution.
Wow.
Liquid cooled processor.
Oh no, kidding.
Just a beast, and it's actually the smallest unit they've ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
And they just can't get the numbers in sequence. I would think a 360 will run faster than a 1.
One X. Xbox One X.
Okay. And, you know, it's good that they put the liquid cooled in there, because remember, a lot of people remember the red ring of death with Xboxes. Xbox One did not experience that, so they learned their lesson. The gaming games on there are just... even my daughter now is invested in an Xbox One, and she does all those...
What is Internet it about games. Microsoft that they get gaming, but they don't get so much else? You were being teased about the fact that your Microsoft phone, Windows phone is no longer here. My wife has got a Windows phone that we're going to have to get rid of because we're starting to get these notices that, I'm sorry, but that application is no longer being made for Windows. Oh, come on,
guys. It's following the dollar. I mean, the gaming industry is...
It's
huge. I mean, that's where they want to. That's where they're making their money.
You know,
they're going to make a fortune off of this machine because it's going to sell like you wouldn't believe.
With this unit being smaller and that sort of thing, are the controllers like wireless as well?
The controllers are wireless, and the controllers are very basic. Basically, Xbox is always good, and actually, all of them are good at keeping the controllers fairly similar. Because when you play with these controllers and they make a change, it not just screws up your gameplay, but there's a lot involved there where competitive gameplay. The pros. You've got to keep things fairly similar.
Would you explain that to our audience? There are actually pros at playing these games.
It's at a point in history now that it's probably the biggest it's ever been. You've getting good at a game, you can go pro and play a game for...
They actually have a TV show on
several.
Several. On was it Friday nights? Or instead of me watching reruns of Friends, I'm watching... It's game night. watching live gaming.
They did a huge... It was a couple of weeks ago. It was a huge DayZ survival game where they just dump off, you know, several teams, 20 teams. There was actually one from Michigan, and there are teams of four or five, and they drop these 20 teams off, and it's last man standing. And they
What do you drop them off where? Like a desert island?
World. No, in an environment.
Oh,
an open world environment, and it's huge. And they drop them all, you know, for 20 teams.
Oh, it's a virtual gaming world.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So you've got your little. You know,
can you imagine off dropping off a bunch of geeks on some desert island? They're not going to survive, Foster.
Right. Mountain Dew, Mountain Dew.
So this is it's an unknown map, unknown gaming scenario. Last man survives.
Yeah, and you want to get to the resources like hospitals and gun stores, and you want to get ammo, and there's vehicles, and last man standing wins.
Wow.
And it's insane how they broadcast it like it's a real sporting event.
Now, two things. In the past, the Xbox units have been not just gaming consoles, but also entertainment consoles as well.
Yeah.
So, like, for streaming TV, for playing movies and stuff like that. So, one of being small and stuff like that, Gary, do you think there's a spot on your boat you can fit one of those on? And is there a need for it since it's multi-use?
Well, you know, you really have a whole world out here. You know, you're not be playing games. You're going to be out swimming and cruising and snorkeling and doing some kayaking or whatever. I have my electronic corner in this.
See, there might be those rare days when you're out to sea and the little rough seas and some rain and stuff like that. You may have to go inside instead of laying out there on the deck and just bronzing yourself, right?
Well, and you know, I'm still working, guys. I am.
Yeah, right.
Work. Yeah. You call that work?
I have a little printer set up here. And
oh, I love
do
it.
Some work.
See, that's it. Whoa. He has a printer set up, so therefore it's classified as work.
Yeah, there you go. I've got two laptops and the phone in front of me and the hotspot. And,
we got to only hope that you're using waterproof paper.
I haven't figured out if the salt water is going to eat my computers and my hard drive.
Ooh,
yet,
so that's true.
We're doing an experiment here. So far, so good for the first month. So.
That's true. The corrosive
ability.
Well,
you could always go with a ruggedized laptop. You know, which has
the Panasonics, aren't they? They're the ruggedized ones.
Yeah. We just ordered two of them for figure skating. They're the ruggedized ones. We use rinkside because of the humidity and stuff like that as well.
Sure.
So I'm thinking I'm going to go with Chromebooks and just throw them away when they get.
that's an option as well. It's expensive. Expensive those Toughbooks are.
Don't throw them away at sea, though.
Yeah, they're right.
No. End up on that island with all those plastics.
Well, they talk about making those things boat anchors. You know, you can use it for that, too, I guess. By the way, our number here again is 800-859-0957. We're enjoying the conversation. Hope you drop in, too. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that we're here until 7 o'clock this evening. So if you've got a question about your computer, about the network, about the printer, whatever, we can talk about gaming if you'd like. 800-859-0957. We'll drop whatever we're doing and take up your cause at 800-859-0957. Ed, you took on answering a question this week, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a user that basically had a Windows system. It was running Windows 10, and what happened is, unfortunately, there was a hard crash, and he must have selected the wrong option, and when all was said and done, it was restored back to the Hewlett-Packard OEM factory of Windows 7. He wanted to know how he can get Windows 10 back on there.
So he had upgraded from that original setting to Windows 10. There was a crash, and they said, where to go now? What do you do in that kind of a situation?
Well, basically, he's lucky because if it's shipped with Windows 7, it's more than likely has a UEFI or UEFI BIOS. And what happens is Microsoft stores, if you will, the product key, the licensing for Windows 10 in the BIOS. So he could just download and install Windows 10, and Microsoft will welcome him back into their loving embrace and won't bother them with a security key again because they recognize that he had it in the past. Is that about right, Shane?
That's exactly right.
Right.
Will all this data that he created
I didn't want to make it sound creepy with loving embrace. But
no, exact words I would have said.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we're beginning to get some calls here. That's good. We'll answer your questions as well at 800-859-0957. Back to take those questions in just a moment with the Internet Advisor. Well, the party has begun. Maybe this is the warm-up to Father's Day. By the way, happy Father's Day to all of you dads that are out there, and or like me, perhaps stepfathers. We want to salute you as well. Thank you very much for the leadership that you have given your families and for being out there. Happy Father's Day, dads. Shane, you're worried about the skies being cluttered?
I'd stay in the house tomorrow. Because,
why?
Well, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of drones given away for Father's Day tomorrow. And, you know, the kids are going to buy their dad a drone, so it's not going to be, you know, a $900 drone. It'll be a $40 or $50 drone that they really can't control that well. So I'd probably just stay in the house because those things will be flying everywhere tomorrow.
All right. Let's head out to New Baltimore and welcome Randy. Randy, how may we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Oh, I'm sort of trying to help you, maybe.
Oh.
I was in the car listening to your program. I appreciate it very much. Very informative.
Thank you.
And you were talking or had a question about the new Xfinity Mobile.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. What it is, I can't remember the abbreviation for it. They were in the past, and they officially re-signed an agreement with Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
They are a reseller like Simply Mobile, Total Wireless, U.S. Mobile.
Oh.
The companies out there that buy excess capacity from the carriers, like Cricket that's actually owned by AT&T, would buy excess capacity.
Okay.
That's what Xfinity is doing. They're buying that excess capacity and calling it Xfinity Mobile. So the carrier that they'll be using is Verizon. The rate plans, because I saw a business article on it, is not as competitive. There's a lot of restrictions in it because they're saying $45 unlimited, providing your Comcast more or less premium provider, like the bundle deals they offer, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
and but it's basically, lack of a better term, they're a reseller.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. That's
why. That's why I love our listeners.
Thank
you. Yeah, because one of the things when he was talking about the hotspots, I don't know what you guys have at home, is the newer router they have has that connection where it can activate a hotspot and go online and can find them and use them.
Yep.
And that's available to all, I think, Comcast users.
Yes.
It may be only the, what do they call the new platform, the X1 platform?
Xfinity?
Same thing I have at home.
Yeah. But, I, by the way, just to confirm what you're saying, Randy, I've had the same thing when I've been out because I'm a Comcast or Xfinity customer. I've been able to hook up, matter of fact, securely. And that's the real issue when you're out is hooking up securely to a hotspot. I can hook up securely to an Xfinity hotspot when I'm out.
Oh, you know something? I made a mistake, and I clicked on a button on there that's, you know, it says more details, and with the big button giveth, the fine print taketh away.
Exactly. When you said on the Wi-Fi thing, one thing that I don't know if you mentioned the users, that on the router, that's actually a separate, lack of a better term, gateway into the router.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take away space.
Right, right, right.
They can't access, or the modem, I should say, not router. They can't access your private network.
Right, exactly.
It's sealed up.
So what were you saying?
I can't remember. You probably know, because who does, is it Aeris that Xfinity uses now for their modems?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think those are Aeris brand modems, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because Aeris makes good network stuff, not as good as Cisco, but...
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Hey, Randy, we're going to move on because we have a whole bunch of...
No problem. I just want to tell you where it was coming from and clear up some of the fog.
I appreciate that, Randy. Thank you so much for pitching in. I agree with you. I love this. Oh, look who's here. It's Michelle Gilbert is with us. Michelle, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Foster, how are you?
I'm delighted. Michelle is the vice president for, give me your full title, please.
Vice president of public relations for Comcast in Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, the question we had put up before us, and some people were responding there, is what is Xfinity Mobile?
Sure. So Xfinity Mobile is exactly what it sounds. We are now providing wireless service, and this is really, it's really the best of both worlds because so many people are relying on their Wi-Fi at home more and more, but they want Wi-Fi out and about.
Sure.
So we are now offering mobile service to existing customers that will be smart enough to know when Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots are available. And when they're not available, it will automatically connect you to, the 4G LTE network, which is not ours, but we teamed up with one of the biggies.
Am I right, Michelle, that what you're also offering with that, we're talking with Michelle Gilbert from Comcast, what you're also offering is a level of security as well? Because we've talked often, you know, when you go to some place and you see a Wi-Fi network just pop up, don't just jump on that and think that you're secure. It could be a man-in-the-middle attack, you know, or...
Sure.
Any number of different problems. Sure. There's a level of security that's provided by going to hotspot to Xfinity, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to log in with your email address.
And there you go.
And so does everybody else. So we, you know, we obviously we monitor our network very carefully, and you know, obviously with any kind of hotspot, you just do have to be careful, and you can't open an email like I did a couple weeks ago and click on a link and.
Oops.
See where it leads you. Yeah, it looked real. It really did. But I learned my lesson the hard way. but, you know, I think that Xfinity Mobile, what's great about it is it's for someone who wants to bundle. And it gives you the ability to bundle with your other services. And it gives a lot of flexibility. It's $12 per gig or unlimited. I think right now the unlimited price is on promotion for $45 unlimited.
Okay.
And there's no access fee. So a lot of the carriers charge a $20 access fee. So for a family of four, before you even add data, you're spending $80 on access fees.
Yeah.
And we are not doing that. We are just charging for the data, the calling, the texting, that is all free.
Michelle, two questions, if I could. This is Cal. One is, number one, how are the cellular rates in comparison to the cellular rates you get as a normal cellular person using that type of service? And is there any caps or any throttling that's done at a certain data limit with the hotspots?
So I pulled off on the side of my side of the road, so I don't have anything in front of me.
Oh.
I'm going to have to get back to you. I do believe for the unlimited plan, I do believe that it's 20 gig, and then I do believe then the speeds go down. And it does say so on our website.
Okay.
So I will double check and I will get back to you guys because I know that you do talk to your listeners often, even from week to week.
Yes. Now, Michelle, by the way, if you could send me a link, I will do is I will post it up in the show notes as well for people who want to follow up with the Xfinity Mobile information.
I think we should just bring her smiling face in studio to talk about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I could do a heck of a lot better job for you guys. I will come in a couple of Saturdays. You tell me when.
Okay, good.
And we can talk about it and talk about who it's right for and who maybe it's not right for.
Gotcha.
Because it might not be right for everybody, and we're not necessarily looking to take over the wireless world. We're looking to add more value for our existing customers and those who want to come over. You know, we think it's a tremendous value, not having to pay the access fee in and of itself.
Right.
And then being able to just even buy a gig. I'll tell you, I have a 9-year-old who this is perfect for because I can give her 1 gig of data, spend $12 and know that she's got the peace of mind to make a call whenever she wants.
Yeah.
And then use the Wi-Fi at home, which she's frankly already doing anyway.
Michelle, we will get back with you in a couple of weeks and get you on to answer some more questions and give more information, all right? Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Great chatting with you guys. Look forward to doing it again.
Oh, thanks. Michelle Gilbert, who is a vice president of PR out there for Michigan and for a number of areas here in the Heartland, what they call the Heartland District. Thank you for pulling off to the side of the road and helping us out that way. Great job. Thanks so much for doing it. Let's head out to, and by the way, I will post the link that she sends as part of our show notes here. Let's go to Kevin in Livonia. Kevin, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a problem with email.
Mm-hmm.
I have a boss that likes the iProduct. I really would rather have Android, but I don't pay for my iPad or my phone. But I've got a Windows computer, and I get a error message, and I don't get emailed as a Windows machine when we use Outlook.
Okay.
Okay, use Outlook web-based mail or Outlook
client?
Client, they're like the Office 360.
Office 360.
Okay.
So what will happen, it will show up on the computer at the office, but it may be a day, 2 days, 3 days after I've got them on my phone.
Oh, so it doesn't show up right away on your phone.
Well, probably.
No, it shows up on my phone, then my iPad, then the computer at the office.
But it takes 3 or 4 days to get to the computer at your office.
Right.
Boy, that's strange.
Do you have more than one email account coming to your mail client? Do you have Outlook and Google and Hotmail and or?
I've got my company email. Mm-hmm. My phone has my iPhone, I had to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same on my tablet as the iPhone, but it's only one going through that. The mail key we can't hit on the bottom of the computer. Excuse me, I'm a stupid heating and cooling tech.
Lost. No, that's okay. So you're a heating cooling, but your work computer, you said you have your email coming through on it, and it's an Outlook email. And it doesn't show up on there right away, but it shows up right away on your phone. Shane, do you have any?
Somewhere close.
Boy,
whatever the phone resets and whatever it's set for. All the emails will come in.
Kevin, we're going to do this. Matter of fact, we're coming up on a break right now. We're going to put you on hold, and what we're going to do is, while we're in the break, we're going to see if we can find out some answers for you on that as well, okay? 800-859-0957. Norman Onstad and Alan Cleveland will get to you as well. And then when we're in the break, we'll talk with Kevin and see if we can straighten out his email situation as well. Okay, thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor with your questions. And we're going to be answering those in just a minute. As we continue, we're going to be wrapping up our program in 15 minutes. So there is still time for you to call in, 800-859-0957. I'd like to thank Danielle Mason, who's been working as our engineer here, and Logan Stanifer, our producer, who's helped us out. First hour, Eric Dorsch was in here, our super engineer, helping us. And what's happening right now is that Shane is working with Kevin offline, so we'll let him continue to do that to try to unravel his email situation. Maybe some other thoughts, Ed, that have come out of this, Ed and Cal.
Well, one of the things that Gary suggested was possibly... most email clients, you could set up a push-pull, like how often do you query to get email?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is possibly a password issue. I was thinking about by going in and resetting up the email account if it's cloud-based. Yeah. So what did it end up being?
Well, we're gonna have his IT department break down that account and reestablish or reset it up again. Down the road, there was a setting. Something was misplaced or was set up wrong.
Yeah.
And I told him to call us back
in
a future show and let us know how that turned out.
That's very good. Thank you very much. A couple things have happened this afternoon. One is we had a listener call in with an answer to us and some information. We love it when that happens. So don't be bashful. If you hear something happen here and maybe we gave an answer, but you have had practical experience with that and can fill in the blanks for us, please give us a call at 800-859-0957. It's good for answers as well as for questions. We love to get in touch with our listeners that way too. Steve in Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Good to talk to you.
Yep.
Got a new computer. The old one had Windows 10. The new one has Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I moved everything over. Did not have my favorites on Google Chrome. And I was fishing around. Finally, found something and accidentally put an icon on the desktop marked, bookmark. How do I get that back on the Google Chrome under the taskbar?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be under favorites. Cool. Is there a way to do that?
It sounds like you created a shortcut, which you then put onto your desktop.
I did it by accident.
Yes, I know.
How long ago did you do this?
The date was 6/24/2010 when I found it by accident because I was fishing around trying to find the favorites or the bookmarks.
See, it was my understanding with Google Chrome that if you have a Gmail account and if you log into that new computer via through the browser to that Gmail account, it should import your bookmarks anyway.
Yeah, it does.
And that's what I was going to suggest is on the old computer, log into your Gmail.
Yes.
And then it'll synchronize it up to the cloud, and you can do the same thing on the new computer.
And then you would go into those little ellipses on the end, the settings on Google Chrome, and then just go to where it says favorites and say show these.
Wait a minute, I have to restart or redo the old computer? Crank it back up and hook it to a monitor?
See, I don't think he has to do that.
No,
did you ever log on to Google, to your Gmail account on the old computer at any time?
I don't regularly use Gmail, but I had to for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they should have at least some of those bookmarks already stored out there. So if you log into Gmail
using Google Chrome
on that new computer, it should bring those bookmarks over for you automatically.
Okay.
Now, that's one option,
mm-hmm.
and that's the best option. The other one is Google Chrome still supports, as you inferred, the ability to export your bookmarks or your favorites. Here we are. I'm saying favorites. I've been Microsoft to death. you can export favorite those bookmarks from Chrome to a bookmark.html that you're referring to. And then, you can, on your new computer, you can import those, that bookmark file, into your, that's the old-fashioned way of doing it.
Is the old computer still functional?
Yes, barely. The hard drive is starting to make noise. That's why I...
Yeah, sure.
changes.
Yeah, if you turn it on and do what Ed has prescribed to you, you should be able to get those bookmarks moved over to where you want them. The second way is just to open, start up the old computer, open up Google Chrome, do an export of the bookmarks, email them to yourself, mm-hmm. and then on the new computer, open up that email and then import that file into your new Google Chrome.
Yeah, I believe it's Bookmark Manager.
Okay.
Yeah. Google Chrome, yeah. And that's where you were probably fiddling around with. Yeah. Then you have the ability in there to export bookmarks to an HTML file.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, I hope so.
Well, let us know, please. Okay. You can do that by emailing us at internetadvisor.net.
Or call back.
Or call back, yeah.
And then the other thing is the new computer found my LaserJet printer, a mm-hmm. Hewlett-Packard,
mm-hmm.
found most of my OfficeJet, except for the wireless scanning. Is there a HP website or something that I can...
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. You want to take it?
Go ahead.
Go to HP.com, and then go under support, and then go under printers, and it'll ask you to put in the model of that printer. And you'll put that in there, and then it will say, what operating system are you using? You put in Windows 10, and it will show you a utility. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be HP Easy Start. And you just download that onto the new computer, follow the instructions after double-clicking on it, and it'll set that all up for you, including the scanning interface along mm-hmm. with it.
Okay. I guess the thing that surprised me was the fax works, the phone works.
Yeah.
That's because Windows 10 has the capability built into it where you can go ahead and use the generic faxing and all that comes with
yeah.
it. But if your particular printer has some unique characteristics, for example, a document feeder on it or something like that, then you need the HP version in order to do it.
Okay.
Anything to add to that, Shane?
Nope.
Got it all. All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that.
I'm scared. I was doing Windows stuff.
Windows 10 has a ton of basic drivers installed, pre-installed, and that's what happens. That's why you plug in, play, it detects it, but a lot of the features won't work.
Yeah. How does Windows 10 move your data over for our other listeners? So if our listener, the caller that just called in, he had an old Windows 10 and he has a new Windows 10. How the heck did he move his data over?
He probably did it personally by hand.
Yeah. Because Windows 10 doesn't provide a wizard.
No. They at one time Windows invested in Aloha Bob, which was a transfer program.
Yeah, the MiGWiz.
It was built in and it's not anymore.
They don't have Windows Easy Transfer anymore?
No, but if you buy the cable for $21 at the store, it comes with MiGWiz. Yeah.
But I mean, how hard is it to go into your user profile, copy your documents? I mean,
for us, not so much. Yeah. You and I are used to folders. Now people they just drop it into their faves and that's it. And they where's my faves? They're gone. You know,
it's devastating.
Devastating.
Yeah, it's the end of the world.
So the easy transfer cables, the USB easy transfer cables, are worth the headache. You plug them in. They come pre-installed. They auto-load a program that says, would you like to load this program? Yes, I would. Would you like me to transfer all your data? Yes, I would. Done. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen that somewhere before. I think they call it Migration Assistant on a Mac. You don't even have to go out and buy a cable. You can say, it'll say to you, would you like to do it over Wi-Fi? Would you like to do it over Ethernet?
And Microsoft did. I'm not sure why they didn't do it with Windows 10.
I don't know why.
They just pulled the plug.
Yeah, because Windows Easy Transfer was really a nice tool.
It was easy.
I used it.
All right, let's see if we can wrap up here maybe with a question for Norm out in Onsted. How are you doing from the Irish Hills, Norm?
Good. I've got an iPhone 7 cell phone, and in the camera mode, I cannot focus in on slow motion, video, photo, or square, but I can. It shows I'd be able to take a picture on panorama and on the time-lapse.
So are you trying to zoom in on in something in particular?
No zooming in. It's just to try to take a picture.
So you're saying that when you're in the iPhone 7 and then flipping through the various modes within the standard phone on the iPhone 7, that only a couple of the features work and the other ones, like the magnifier and the...
The slow-mo does not work. The photo does not work. The square does not work.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Yep.
Do you, on that phone, how much memory do you have available in it still?
About 225 gig.
225 gig.
Oh, you got the big one.
And what version of the iOS are you running?
Well, the most...
10, I think.
Okay, so you're going to go into general. You go into settings, go to general, and then go check for the version of your iOS, and you should have 10.3.2 running. If you don't, upgrade it to that, reboot the phone, and I think all those features will start working for you without a problem.
Okay. I haven't yet done the new one, so okay.
Yeah. 10.3.2 is what you want to have on
it. There were some initial photo or camera issues on the first release of the iPhone 7, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I'm saying you need to update the software.
Yeah, I don't work with it.
Okay, Norm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the cruise with your phone. Speaking of cruises, Gary, I thank you for joining us here during both of these hours of the Internet Advisor. Captain, you can now set sail for your sunset cruise down there at Fort Lauderdale.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of a problem that I don't know if you have this problem or not, but this song keeps running through my mind.
That's right.
What is it? What is the song?
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island. All right. We'll have to have that as our background for you, Gary. Thanks so much, Gary Baker down in Fort Lauderdale. Shane and Kel and Ed, thanks so much for being with us. And folks, you can find our show notes at internetadvisor.net. Thanks all for being with us this weekend here on the Internet Advisor.